Hi, welcome to another Expert Insights discussion. With Euros 2024 not far away, we wanted to look at how this tournament has influenced the hotel sector in the key host cities, and how this tournament compares to other major events such as the Olympics or pop concerts. But we also wanted to dig a bit deeper and see if the match location, date of the match, and the opponents have influenced demand and pricing. We also explore what the regional hotels could be doing to pick up business which has been displaced due to the tournament. To guide us through the numbers and provide their insights, we're joined again by Veit Meyer of Berner & Becker. Really hope you enjoy the conversation. Hi, Veit. Good to see you again. Always a pleasure when you join us on these conversations. And we have a very pressing, just over 3 weeks now to the big Euros 2024 in Germany. And so we thought, You are in a perfect position, sitting there as you are, with it all going on around you, for us to actually say, okay, on one side, what's the impact of it? You know, what are you seeing? And I know you've got some stats and things that you can share. But then also what we want to look at is, okay, but there's an impact of that on the hotels, but there's also other hotels that could maybe be benefiting and thinking about what could they be doing to pick up additional business that's maybe being displaced. But let's first of all then, let's start off by setting the scene. Euros 2024, broad overview. What can you tell us about what you're seeing the impact, and maybe some comparisons around an event like this that's multiple weeks as compared to, say, a one-off event we've all heard about, the Taylor Swift effect, or maybe a Champions League event. So let me throw it over to you. Give us some stats. Give us some numbers here.
I'll try to, but... Firstly, two things. First one is obviously good to be back. It's been a while. And secondly, you know, which better thing is there than speaking about football and revenue management in combination? Like, it's great.
And it's sunny where you are as well, even better.
Is it? No, it's not. It's raining today, but, it will turn better. It will turn better. No. Where do I start? I think we got one of the biggest events obviously coming to Germany, and it's starting very soon. It's less than a month away. We've seen crazy movements obviously within the hotel industry specifically, in terms of pricing for the matches. But you know, just picking up on your question of how does that compare on a broader view against one-off or single events, I mean, whenever, you know, events of that size and also events of that duration, like be it the Euros or also be it the Olympics or be it World Cups or European Championship games, for example, we had last year in August here in Munich. When events of that size are happening, I think from a booking curve perspective, it's entirely different compared to one-off events, right?
Right.
Usually when those one-off events, like be it the Champions League final or any concert are announced, people are going like crazy, right? Yeah. The next day they book their hotel room, you see the spikes within on the books figures. And obviously if you haven't been able to, you know, follow suit on the date announcement, you're going to be trapped in a situation that you're most certainly losing out on money, right?
Yeah.
Now, with the European Championships now, it's certainly a bit different, right? I think we got to make also the differentiation between like how is booking curves or booking movements looking for something like the group stages in comparison also to the, let's say, the knockout stages.
Yeah, good point.
Knockout stage, right? And in addition, I think for the Euros, a lot has been dependent or is still dependent on kind of how the ticketing sales has been going or when tickets were released, right? We had application phases during the course of last year, basically from mid-year last year to towards the end of this year or last year. And now we had tickets being released towards the end of last year. We had ticket releases coming in over the course of quarter one. We had the official ramp up of the Euros resale platform. So in case you cannot make it to the game, right? And you can officially and safely, first of all, resell your ticket. And all those kind of events basically around the ticketing have a tremendous impact on, you know, how booking curves are basically developing.
So they've staggered the release of the tickets over a period of time rather than, as you say, an event where it all goes live in one thing, everyone jumps on it. Yeah. This is spread over time. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Sorry, carry on.
And obviously for the group stages where, let's say, matches have been drawn basically to happen in different cities, like we got a number of host cities across Germany. Obviously, you have seen spikes happening in booking behavior or let's say in on the books positioning, right? But it's not been as, you know, there's a run on a specific game or there's a run on all the match dates basically throughout all the host cities, but it's rather coming in stages, and that is really following along on what happened in terms of ticket releases during the course of more than half a year now.
That makes sense.
So that's obviously very different from one-off events. And I think what we also have to say is that, you know, specific games, and we come to that also in a minute, I think, they see more demand than other games do.
Right. Yeah. And we will, because I think that's important to look at look at those comparisons. Yeah. One of the things I was going to ask as well, in terms of, you mentioned the Olympics. I mean, there was a lot was written about Paris hotels and 10 times multiple sort of the price. But then I was reading recently that they're now seeing price drops from those high points because they weren't being taken up. I think there was another factor which I'll ask you about in a minute, but if we're looking purely at it from a hotel pricing point of view, was there, as well as you've referenced the booking curve, was it as dramatic, the increase in prices for hotels, maybe for like the finals, semi-finals, but maybe not the group matches? Any insights on that side of things?
I think obviously for a game like, be it a semi-final or also being at a final match during the Euros, you've seen the greatest price increases already happening right? And that's kind of a practice that you would call like security pricing or protection pricing in that sense. And it's also wise for any of the hoteliers that are, for example, looking into their booking positioning or their price positioning also for any of the group stage matches, to still keep on to, let's say, a rather high pricing, because one thing is for sure, even though that entire event is spread out over a number of weeks, it's going to be sellout days, for pretty much all matches in all host cities. I think that's a thing that we can almost say for sure.
Yeah.
Because just thinking about, you know, there's been 20 million applications coming in for tickets, right? And it is also said that we're expecting kind of 2.7 million visitors just to come for the Euros during the course of the Euros.
Goodness.
Now between mid-June and mid-July, I think there's no reason to believe that any of those dates will not be a sellout date. So please, any hotelier, keep up with your pricing. it's gonna be worth. Then obviously, yes, we've seen spikes for a couple of the games. I think, you know, a final in Berlin, for example, or a room for the final match in Berlin on that specific date, obviously, is currently seeing kind of the highest price that we would find throughout any of the Euro dates. I think Lighthouse was evaluating that at some point. They were saying that 583 euros are currently to be found for a standard hotel room actually in the city for the final match, right? And what is also being said is that the average pricing across all 10 host cities for any of the match dates is currently at around 60% higher than it is in comparison to regular business weeks. And 60%, that is obviously a figure where you would say, well, something is moving, right? But it's not moving crazily.
I was going to say that's not like Paris did with the Olympics.
No. So it looks that in Germany we're not as greedy, which might be a positive, but which might also be a testament to, you know, proper revenue management practices. As you know, obviously, if you look at a perfect booking curve, you would want to have your prices raising, obviously, the closer you get to the day of arrival, right? Yep. So That's a bit of speculation, but the 60% price increase in comparison to regular weeks, that's a given. And that's what we see for hotels. However, if we're also looking at short-term rentals, which
ask
also
about that.
play
Because I know that's
kind
playing a
of a
big
role in
part
that
in the
whole mix,
Olympics. Yeah.
exactly, they don't seem to be doing that well, basically, on how much of a price premium they can actually or they are actually able to sell.
Oh,
Here we're
right.
seeing kind of a bit of a smaller bump. Basically, it's only 16% up, yeah, or let's say round about 20% up versus regular weeks. And I think that's an interesting fact, and it's also something that we're going to be picking up later on a little bit with the short-term rentals. And in any case, I think it has been so much dependent on what is happening with the ticketing, and it's also been so much dependent on how attractive specific games certainly are.
And
In Otter
maybe,
Way, you see the first couple of bookings coming in.
yeah, that makes sense. And I don't know how the ticketing was done for the Olympics. And maybe, as you say, maybe they were all released at one go. And so there was that rush like an event and that pushed prices up. But
No idea.
interesting when you said about short-term rentals, I've heard anecdotal stories about people who have been renting in Paris that have been offered money to move out for 2 months. Because the owner knows that they can rent that property at a price that will not only generate greater revenue, but also offset what they are prepared to pay the person to move
It's
out.
crazy, huh?
It's absolutely ridiculous. Anyway, picking up on your last point, yeah, let's look at what you see in terms of a specific game matchup. Because I guess what you've got there is, if you've got a game like Germany versus France, for instance, kind of neighbors, high profile, that could be higher demand. Those countries are fairly affluent countries, fairly strong football followers, probably the ability to pay for that level of ticket and maybe stay. Whereas there may be other matches where it's not as attractive to go and see that much match up. Maybe it's more difficult because people are traveling further. It's more difficult for them to be traveling. What do you, if we dive a little bit narrower there, what do you see on that kind of thing? And maybe location, I guess if it's Berlin compared to other cities that aren't seen as travel destination, day of the match, weekend compared to a week, throw some stuff at us there.
I think one of the most interesting finds I had was that, for example, for a game where you would not necessarily say it's, a really, really cool or good game, maybe to watch, that is Scotland versus Switzerland. You are seeing one of the, let's say, highest entry rates being sold, and that's in a location that is Dortmund. So we got different factors, right? Dortmund, obviously super well known as being one of the cities in Germany to watch football, just because of the stadium, just because of the ambience. Secondly, however, you would say, okay, Scotland and Switzerland, not the two greatest teams, might be a bit of a, not necessarily a downer, but you
Not as
wouldn't
high
think that this would.
demand as some of the higher profiles.
Exactly. And still, you find one of the currently highest priced matches
Oh, wow.
in that constellation, right?
Right.
Same goes for a match like Italy versus Albania. Here, you've obviously got one contender that is high profile, Italy, right? You obviously know that Italians are crazy for football. They would travel, they would come to town. Basically, also that game is happening in Dortmund. Whereas Albania, for example, you would almost say, like, also from a, disposable income perspective, in terms of what can they actually afford to, travel to another country, have a good time, spend, let's say, shitloads of money on the ticket, and then travel back at some point. Also there, we're seeing one of the highest entry rates being sold at €552, and that's
550.
crazy. And on the other hand side, you have matches like even the opening match here in Munich, Germany versus Scotland, where rates are nowhere near as high. And obviously, also along the group stages, at least, you have match dates that carry certainly matches where there's a lot of attractiveness, first of all, from the host cities, secondly, also from the countries that are playing each other, mm-hmm. Where you would not see as high of a spike in terms of pricing as for those examples that I just mentioned. And I really find it interesting. So there's a couple of elements, obviously, where you look at. You look at disposable income of the countries that are playing each other, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's one factor to determine, like, not necessarily how high rates will raise, basically, for the match dates, but maybe where, you know, some sort of an entry-level pricing is starting from. You have the attractiveness of the match itself. Mm-hmm. And then, obviously, you have the, let's say, attractiveness of the destination where the match is happening, yep. So the host city itself, right? And certainly another element is the day of the match, right? I think weekend games are still certainly preferred in that sense and could lead to prices raising higher than they would do for regular midweek matches. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm with you. And yeah. Would... I'm just thinking when you were, because those figures surprised me. This is going to sound, it's going to be the wrong thing to say and probably wind up.
Say it and we'll revise it.
But is there a degree of complacency in some of the fans that they will go further in the competition? And so in which case... Oh, well, if we don't go to the opening games, no big deal. You know, we'll catch them later on. Whereas for some of the you know, less attractive teams or those that they think won't do as well, you know, you've got four games. That's it. And there's only so many tickets that are sold for each team. So the demand is high. I guess that might be a factor. And I guess also maybe that one would be hard to answer. That's subjective. But does, I guess supply has a bearing as well. I mean, I don't know Dortmund mm-hmm. compared to Berlin. But I mean, mm-hmm. do you have more hotels mm-hmm. in Berlin, more short stay, short-term rental opportunities in Berlin than you do Dortmund? So would that in some ways play at suppressing the price that they could be charging?
Yeah, no, it certainly will do. And I mean, also one of the limiting factors basically in that combination with, you know, where the match is actually taking place is also the capacity of the stadium.
Yeah,
of course. That pretty much dictates how many tickets can actually be sold in a mm-hmm. way for a specific match, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you have a stadium like Munich or you look at Dortmund, you can fit 75,000 people.
Yeah.
I think the cap is around 70,000, especially for the Euro games. Mm-hmm. Usually they would fit a couple of more people, but that's in combination also with the supply within the city. And if you look at Munich, if you look at Berlin, obviously, also if you look at Hamburg, for example, you got a lot of supply,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And that supply also then in combination with the capacity and also obviously with the attractiveness of the matches itself has to be filled somehow, mm-hmm. right? So you would necessarily not see that high spikes basically in terms of pricing for those kind of cities versus regular business weeks, whereas you would see a much greater spike as, for example, those matches happening in Dortmund, where the supply in the city is much smaller basically in terms of short-term rentals or hotel rooms. And I think that has a direct correlation in that sense.
Makes sense. So one of the things, I mean, as you say, the Euros were announced a long time ago. The ticketing is all being released. Hotels within the city should have been responding mm-hmm. to this for some time now.
Yeah.
And the Euros is going on, which is great, but so is all the usual business that would have been happening. So every hotel in all of these key cities, host cities, would have been operating to a pretty reasonable capacity based mm-hmm. on trends to date.
Yeah.
Where's that business going? is it not happening? Are people disappearing? You know, are there opportunities here that people should be taking advantages of?
Yeah. I think it's fair to say that the business that would have usually happened is not happening, but it will happen somewhere else. right?
Okay.
And this is where basically also the surroundings of those host cities really come into play.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing that we have to think about is, you know, which kind of business is going to be displaced from the host cities to somewhere else, yep. right? And this is where we're talking market segmentation. And I would almost say, like, if you look at the distribution of games during the course of the weeks, you have a couple of midweek games and you obviously have the weekend games happening over the course of those 4 weeks. There is an element to say, especially groups business mm-hmm. might not be happening, especially, let's say, length of stay one groups business might not be happening necessarily within the host city in specific hotels,
mm-hmm.
but is rather happening then, or is being requested in hotels outside of the host city.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is also, I think, where a huge opportunity lies for yeah. those hotels being located in a little bit a regional area from mm-hmm. those host cities, because they can position themselves entirely different and pick up a different sort of business
yeah,
in a much greater amount, basically, than they would usually be able to do.
Yeah.
So looking at hotels that are a bit more outside, I think groups business is the first and foremost opportunity they have, right?
Yeah, that seems natural.
And secondly, if we're also thinking about, you know, those matches where probably countries are playing that have a, you know, high disposable income, that probably also come with a high willingness to pay
mm-hmm.
at the end of the day, this might also be something where regional hotels can actually profit from
yep.
at the end of the day,
mm-hmm.
Simply by trying to position themselves a bit closer, but still with a, you know, a visible gap in terms of pricing to the hotels directly in the host city,
yep.
but close to them, right? And try and pick up and that compete
kind of close enough to be yeah. advantage to the hotel, but far enough to
yeah.
make it enticing for the traveler.
Exactly. Exactly. So I think most prominently, I think there's those two opportunities that regional hotels really have. And, you know, it's not to say that hotels directly within the host cities, they will not have the opportunity to accommodate, for example, group requests or anything
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, hoteliers and also revenue managers, first and foremost, they will try and protect their inventory. Because
yeah.
I also think that for a number of different match days, there's still a lot of demand actually to be placed in hotels. And I think every hotel does well that is still holding strong on their price positioning and not letting go just because they don't probably see a sellout happening right now.
Yeah.
But this is to say it's going to come. But it's going to take a couple of more moments. Yeah.
You mentioned group business, which seems the logical yeah. bit, particularly during those midweek games yeah. are going on as well. And I guess
yeah.
there's an angle to say, you know, people might have thought of cancelling that
yeah.
or arranging it later in the year
yeah.
if that's possible. But you could almost say, well, have it now, and you can kind of have your meeting and be in proximity, but not pay the inflated prices that are if you're in the city. So if the actual
yeah.
Euros vibe is something you wanted to be part of, but not at those high rates, I guess there's an angle there. One of the things I did think about is I could imagine not everyone, you're a football fan, I'm a football fan,
mm-hmm.
but I know plenty
mm-hmm.
of people that aren't, that wouldn't necessarily have thought there's a football tournament going on when they may be
yeah.
booked a while ago. Or thought
yeah.
about booking. And I guess there's also a negative impact of events going on in cities, because suddenly it becomes not always the most pleasant place to be when you've got
mm-hmm.
a bunch of football fans descending on. So I guess there's possibly an angle there around the weekend and the leisure business that the regions could take advantage of, where you still have that access to the city, but maybe you're far enough removed to not be impacted by it. Would that be fair?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's also something that we see, right? You know, I think the length of stay of bookings during the time of the event is rather narrow.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as long as you would probably suspect it to be, because what are fans actually essentially coming in for? They are
yeah,
coming
yeah.
in for, you know, the day of the match itself, and then the day after they would probably fly back and go back to work if it's
mm-hmm.
a midweek game, right?
Mm-hmm.
If it's a weekend game, I think it very much depends, or the length of stay is driven obviously also by the attractiveness of the host city. Right? If you look at Munich, if you look at Berlin, obviously those are in a way also leisure cities. If you look at Hamburg, for example, this is locations where you can easily spend a couple of days in, and that will obviously also have an impact on length of stays. And secondly, also down on pricing for a length of stay booking to come. Whereas, you know, locations like Dortmund, you come in there for the game.
Come in, right? See the game, go home. Yeah.
And you go. Yeah. And again, rightfully mentioned by you, this also has an element, obviously, of, you know, how can regional hotels basically benefit from the Euros basically happening? And especially in cities like Berlin, Munich, and so on, there's a large chance that obviously also outskirt hotels will get their share of, you know, European championship related business from a leisure perspective to happen.
Yeah.
Because
it may not be the football convenient. Fan, but it's a byproduct of there being an event.
And it might even be the football fan, right? Because I mean, the distance it's obviously to travel to the stadiums, it's not that far, right?
Yeah.
You take it with a pinch of salt to say, okay, I'm sitting in a bus or sitting on the train for an hour, and then I'm at the stadium.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think that's why we wanted to, you know, discuss this topic, because even though, you know, it is under a month away, there are still plenty of opportunities, plenty of things that hotels should still be doing from a pricing point of view, in the way that they're positioning themselves, promoting themselves, that could be taking advantage of the Euros, even if they aren't seen as a key location to drop into just to watch the match. And it's almost providing an alternative option, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, as a regional hotel, obviously, if you want to really get your share from that, from the Euros happening, obviously you can go for a volume strategy, right? Where you say you outcompete on occupancy figures in comparison to the market, by, you know, just undercutting whatever's happening within the direct host city in terms of hotel prices or short-term rental prices. On the other hand side, I don't think that's really a fair strategy to take, because especially in those locations that have the chance to also provide regional hotels with a fair share of that business, they can be sitting almost relaxed on a rather high price positioning, because they should, in, let's say, high certainty, be seeing that demand also to come at a higher price.
No, that makes a lot of sense.
You know, now as we're talking about it, it maybe crystallizes a bit. I think if we're looking at, or if we're doing a review of how the Euros really went here in Germany, I think most of the things, they will also become very clear. And we say, why have we not thought about this beforehand? But it's simply the nature of those long duration big events, right?
Sounds like another conversation for us to have to review. How what did we learn?
We should. End of July, in August, we can do a wrap up.
Very good. Are you going to get to some of the games?
I'm going to go to see one of the semifinals here in Munich. I got lucky and got drawn two tickets, so I'll enjoy that.
Hopefully enjoy it
with the German participation.
Hopefully so. Well, enjoy it. Enjoy the game. Enjoy the Euros. Enjoy helping your hotel clients maximize whatever revenue they can. And thanks again for joining us. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Well, I hope that conversation was of interest, and thanks again to Vite for joining us. If you have any thoughts or views on this discussion, please feel free to reach out. You can contact us via our social channels, or you can email us via insights@revenue-hub.com. If you like what we're producing, please do subscribe through the podcast channel you're listening to. And if you want to see the interview, you can find it on the Revenue Hub YouTube channel, and the link is in the podcast notes. Anyway, until next time, thanks for listening.